Professor Wilson, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, why is this US ban on kangaroo leather being put forward?
Well, I know where it's coming from, but I'm not quite sure why it's being put forward, because it would comprehensively fail what it would appear to be trying to achieve, which is to improve the welfare of kangaroos. Fundamentally, I think that people who are proposing this really don't know a great deal about what's going on in Australia in this regard. They, for example, don't understand that we've got at least 50 million kangaroos, at the moment probably about 40 million of them on pastoral properties. So they're not in some giant national park and are being commercially exploited in a national park. They're on pastoral properties.
Yeah. Okay. And you mentioned that, you know, some of the people leading this campaign against kangaroo leather are not aware of these facts and how kangaroos are proliferating here in Australia. Who are the people that are leading this campaign and getting this bill in front of Congress?
Well, there's a very vocal and very noisy minority of people who oppose any use of kangaroos, and they, as I say, they just don't understand the context in which this is occurring. And what a group of wildlife scientists have been saying is that if this bill proceeds, it won't stop the killing of kangaroos. All it'll mean is that the number that are currently being killed, and probably a lot more, will be taken by amateurs. One of the advantages of the kangaroo industry is that animals that are taken a shot have to be brought back to a central point at which time government agencies can examine them to make sure they've been shot humanely and comply with animal welfare codes of practice. Now, if you continue to shut down the kangaroo industry and the decline, there has been a significant decline in the industry over the last few years, then all that'll do is replace these professional kangaroo shooters with amateurs. And that's what we're concerned about. And as a result of that, you'll get massive rises in populations which occur during good seasons, such as the one we're having right now, and then a decline during the drought. And that's, again, part of the package, that these declines take place on these pastoral lands. The graziers have taken steps to reduce their livestock, put them out to adjustment or sold them. But the kangaroos are still there in equal numbers, and then they starve. And we've got significant evidence that that's what occurred during the last drought. What we're saying is that there should be a strong commercial kangaroo industry that can work with the graziers to prevent these booms and busts.
Yeah, sorry. So you've outlined how it can be beneficial for kangaroo welfare, having this commercial kangaroo industry, but it can also be beneficial to the environment. Can you tell us a bit about that?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. I mean, during these decline phases, which we've seen, as I say, the graziers can reduce their livestock numbers, but without a strong kangaroo industry, they don't have a mechanism to reduce the kangaroo numbers. At the moment, the number of kangaroos that are taken under commercial is about 3 to 4% of the population. So this other population goes up and down above that, down as low as about 20 million at the height of the drought, then up back up to 40 to 50 million, and then crashes again. Now, during these crashes, they're starving. Now, if they're starving, they're eating everything that they can get their mouths around, and that is not good for land conservation. It contributes to the paucity of grasses. And I must say, this is a process that also takes place inside national parks and reserves. We've got a lot of evidence in the national parks up in the northwest corner of New South Wales that at the height of the drought, very large numbers of animals died. Now, they're doing damage not only to the production aspects of the livestock properties, but also damaging the biodiversity of those national parks because of an inability to manage the population.
Mm. Now, what has the Australian government's response been to this bill before Congress?
It's been strong, and and we've assisted them with scientific evidence to back up the case. And so we'll just have to wait and see what happens. It's been put forward by two members of Congress. It's not as though it's coming from the US government. And indeed, we've been helping the US consulate in Melbourne, which seems to be the one that was putting together a case to support the Australian perspective.
Mm.
And that's another point that needs to be mentioned as well. It's this kangaroo industry is approved by all of the state governments in Australia and the national government. So it's not as though it's a rogue operation. Our view is that it should be a lot bigger and a lot stronger than it is. But all of the states, with the exception of the ACT, currently allow commercial use of wildlife under managed programs.
Hmm.
So all the states and both sides of politics all support a coordinated, well-managed kangaroo industry. So
yeah.
Just how the Americans think they can come in and tell us that they know more about it than we do is really a version of imperialism, really. It's cultural imperialism. They've got a set of values and they seek to enforce them upon us.
Mm. Yeah, it's an interesting one. I think that considering, I don't know, I think from the perspective of, internationals, when they come to Australia and they see a kangaroo and that's the quintessential Australian, wildlife species, they just believe that it's a cute little representation of our country rather than something that we see in Australia and the government recognises as an industry and as a sustainable product when it comes
to
meat and all.
Yeah. What it's saying is that the Aborigines and Indigenous Australians got it wrong. Are they really suggesting that Indigenous Australians shouldn't eat kangaroos or use kangaroo leather? We've come along in a couple of hundred years, brought in these animals from the other side of the world. We're the ones that regard them as the prime meat-producing animals on the rangelands. And I must emphasise this, we're talking about the 70 to 80% of Australia where you can't grow crops, it just grows grass. And that's where most of the kangaroos are. So they're out there in large numbers, about the same biomass as the sheep and cattle. But half of it where it's okay to use, i.e. the sheep and cattle, but the other half it's not. It just doesn't bear any close scrutiny whatsoever.
Mm.
It's a comprehensive own goals, what we've been saying.
Yeah.
Because they're pushing it forward, trying to put Nike and Puma and these other sports shoes people under pressure to stop using kangaroo leather. Well, if they're successful in that, then the demand for these products will decline. Kangaroos will continue to be pests out there alongside the sheep and cattle. And the landholders will be forced to continue what they're increasingly having to do lately, and that's to get rid of them through other means, through amateur shooters, through fencing. And because they can't do that all that effectively, you get these huge fluctuations in numbers, which are an animal welfare disaster, a sustainability disaster during droughts. And we're pursuing the line that the graziers should work with the kangaroo industry to integrate kangaroo production into their other enterprises.
Mm. Just lastly, and quickly, we don't have much time left, but do you think the Australian government's doing enough to promote the consumption of kangaroo products above other forms of, say, protein or leather? And, do you think that there's scope there? They should be educating us more about the sustainability compared to some of the other options?
Well, I'd certainly like to see that happen. I mean, the government's got a very large fund called the Future Drought Fund, which they set up after the last drought, and it's about improving resilience. So we'd like to see some of the money, the very large amount of money in that fund, used to pursue the sorts of objectives we've got in mind, working with the landholders, and that's critical. to work with the landholders to generate employment in these regional towns, to make use of this resource and stop it being wasted the way it currently is. So, yes, the government's doing what it can to maintain access for kangaroo products into the US market, but we'd also like to see it invest in a better way of doing it at home. And there are many ways in which kangaroo management can be improved, but the key issue is to try and increase its value, kangaroo products' value, so that the graziers regard them as assets rather than pests. Mm. We can't have a situation in 50 years' time or 100 years' time when kangaroos are still pests on the landscape alongside sheep and cattle.
It's
just daft.
Okay. Professor Wilson, there's a lot of interesting information there, and I urge people to go out and have a bit of a look at it and maybe consider kangaroo as an option when you're at the supermarket or somewhere else if you're someone that chooses to eat meat and things like that. That's all we have time for this morning. Thank you so much for joining us and telling us all about this issue.
Thank you for the opportunity.